Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two of the show starts right now on ESPN 97.5. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel. Barry, albeit from Little Rock, Arkansas. Nick and I here in studio. F Yeah Friday, Comedian of the Week, Chingo Bling. He's in town this weekend at the Improv. Check him out. And while you're here listening to us, rest assured we will have clips from him 2:15, 3:15 as we take you through till 4 p.m. Barry, anything
yes,
you want to catch up on?
Not at this moment. I did want to talk a little bit about this Texans mediocrity tweet.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That somebody sent out. So P. Randizzle is the one that tagged us on it. But mm-hmm. somebody had said something to the effect of, the Texans are, I don't know why everybody's hating on the Texans. They are, I said, here's the it's the tweet. I will never understand the hate on the Texans from Houston fans. They are a legit playoff team. Bad coaching, I get that. But damn, they are an above average NFL team. If you try to prove me wrong, then you are wrong. So I spent a whopping total of 2 minutes just pulling up their statistics. The franchise since its inception is 121 and 151 and zero. So they have a below average record. They are under 500. They are 3-5 in the playoffs all time. The winningest coach in franchise history is Gary Kubiak with a record of 61-64. So the guy with the most wins doesn't even have a winning record. Bill O'Brien is 42-38, which is barely above 500. He's 1-3 in the playoffs. They are the very definition of mediocre at best. They are the absolute definition of an average football team. And you can't deny that. Do they have good years? Sure. Here's the thing. They've been around 18 years. Do you know how many times they've hit double digits in wins in 18 seasons? 3. Which means they've been either 9-7, 8-8, or something far worse 15 of their 18 seasons. That's average. At best, that's average.
Yeah, I mean, again, when you listen to the conversations that are held around town year in, year out about this football team, you hear those numbers, 9-7, 9-7. You know, occasionally they'll be it'll even out because you'll have the 2-14, or you'll have the slip up season, which turns it into essentially 8-8 across the board.
Well, here's what Bill O'Brien did. He went 9-7, 9-7, 9-7. Then he goes 4-12, and you're like, oh, this is. And then he goes 11-5. And if you take 11-5 and 4-12, guess what? It's pretty much 9-7. I mean, it's average. This dude is a average, run of the mill, vanilla ball coach.
But Barry, it goes back to the point that I was making in the last week or two when we were talking about all this stuff too. As long as the Houston fan base and everybody around this town and franchise continues to accept it, it's not going to get any better because there's no pressure. They're not feeling any heat. They're not taking any, you know, but it's crazy to me too. And I was thinking about this the other day when we talk about how the Texans want to control the media. They learned this because the Rockets have done it forever too. They want to make sure that all they get is propaganda that's in the positive for their franchises. So therefore, they give the interviews and the one-on-ones and the press credentials to the radio and TV stations that fluff them. And I think that until, from a fan base to the media, they hold them accountable and say, look, it's not good enough to just go 9-7. It's not good enough to kind of back into a division championship and then be done one round into the playoffs. We expect more. We demand more. We want to see more. And you have had enough time on the job where you should be giving us more. And the more control you get over this franchise, the less it seems you're held accountable, both individually, Bill O'Brien, and as a franchise, to get more wins, go further, and do more.
Yeah. And he's always like, well, we made the playoffs. Well, and you do nothing when you get there.
Yeah.
You're 1-3 in the playoffs, O'Brien.
I mean, look what – okay, Indy was in command that entire game last year on your home field in the first round. You don't like that result? Well, then look at the game the Chiefs came in here and whooped your ass from start to finish and handed you your entire season in a nutshell, jammed it down your throat and said bye on your home field. I mean – And the playoff games you've won, oh, yay, you beat the Bengals. Woohoo!
Yeah, and there was a pretty significant injury, if I do recall, in that game. So, I'm sorry. I'm a fan of this team, and I want them to be well. But we have to call it like we see it. You have to call it what it is. This is an average football team. Do we want them to be great? Hell yes. I want them to be the Astros. I want them to be the Rockets and experience more success than they do failure or do some things in the playoffs and make some runs. It's just, it's not a thing right now. And I get it that it's hard, but we talk about making the playoffs going 9-7. He's kind of lucky that he's had four playoff games because the division has been bad. If 9-7 gets you into the playoffs twice in your what, 6 years, 5 years as a coach, you're in a bad division.
And let's not forget that Raiders win at home in the playoffs, like you said, both quarterbacks were hurt. They went to their third string, and you squeaked that one out. But you make a good point, too, here, Barry, because of the fact that we compare everybody in this town by each of the three professional teams. So if you're not going to be the Astros, which is what we'd really like to see, this team building within the draft, getting the right young players until you're ready to continue to progress every year. But you bring up the Rockets, and it's a valid point in that if you're not going to be in contention for a Super Bowl every year, at least the moves you make are big-time moves that create excitement, and it gives you the potential to possibly, like with Westbrook, we don't know if they can win a title or not. We know they got a shot to go for it because they got enough. So when you look across the league and you go, Trent Williams and everybody that John McClain otherwise are saying and reporting, Texans just don't see it as a good fit. They're not going to pursue it. Why not? Why not take a chance if you're not going to do it through the draft and go and look at guys that want to play here that can make specific parts of your team that you are lacking at better? That's what I don't get either.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry to Aaron Campbell, but the Texans are average. And I know you said if I try to prove you wrong, I'm wrong. I'm not wrong.
If Deshaun Watson remains healthy over the course of the next two seasons and they continue with this 9-7, 8-8 type of record or average record, I mean, are they an above-average team? Is he an above-average coach? Like, You're not. I mean, to me, if Watson is healthy, that puts more pressure on Bill O'Brien, because I don't care what you put around him, because it's essentially been in your hand, not just as a coach, but kind of as a general manager for quite some time. They've given you that much power. So a lot of people will say, man, I wish I had Deshaun Watson on my team. I could have coached a quarterback like that. And if he doesn't get the most out of Watson, I don't see how you call this an above average team.
And I don't know how he keeps getting all the credit and the power that he gets when you look at the only performance you can base him on, besides being a coordinator in the NFL, was his job at Penn State. And that wasn't an easy job. And yet, he did kind of turn it around. But there's a huge difference between turning around Penn State and winning on the level of the National Football League on a consistent basis to be better than average. And because he's only been average, as you guys have highlighted, yet he continues to get more control, more power, more jobs, I don't get it. Not only do I want to see the fan base and the media hold them accountable, I'd like to see Cal McNair and the ownership group hold them accountable too and go, you know what, man, we've given you a whole lot of opportunity. We've given you more and more power. We've allowed you to be in on the process for general manager. And what are we getting back?
Well, hopefully that's what the move to get rid of Gain was, and not just a power move by Bill O'Brien. But hopefully that was Cal McNair saying, hey, we're going to start to run this franchise differently. You're all on the clock. Hopefully. I don't know if that's the case. I don't have any inside information. I'm crossing my fingers thinking Cal McNair is going to run this franchise differently.
I totally remember saying it back in whatever, 2012, 2013, when the whole Joe Paterno scandal happened at Penn State, that a lot of these coaches don't transition well in the NFL because of the power you get at the college level. And this happens in basketball too. I mean, there's a lot of college basketball coaches out there that can't make that transition into the NBA because they're dealing with multimillionaires that have a lot more power than you. That takes a special personality. Yeah. And I felt like that. I didn't necessarily say he was going to be a bad coach. But I did feel like transitioning into the NFL would not be easy for a personality like Bill O'Brien.
Well, I mean, he was an NFL coach before he went to Penn State, but he was an assistant. And there's still a big difference.
Massive difference.
Yeah, than being the main guy and really this persona of, you know, the leadership that he's trying to impose on this team. I saw a tweet from the Texans that were like, one of their rookies was like, oh, he talks about the first week. And do you know what their quote was? I'm just trying to go out there and work hard. Oh, my God. Why even? This is a waste of time again. Why
just
even
want to be
put
the best?
Out?
You know what, guys? I just want to be Jesus. The best usual suspect I can be.
Just get over it, Texans.
Seriously.
It's so frustrating.
All right, Chingo Bling, coming up next as we get out of the break. And then as we lead to 2:30, we'll welcome in Cody Stutes to talk a little training camp with the Houston Texans after game one of the preseason. See what his thoughts are on Duke Johnson, maybe some other things. We'll be back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
It's all wrong. Like, they always think weed heads, like, they're lazy. They don't do nothing. But my pothead homeboys are creative as like, they be just coming up with inventions, like edibles and shit. Like, I know y'all know about the standard, like, the weed brownies and the weed Rice Krispies and weed gummy bears. I got some other homeboys got f***ing weed mazapan, weed duvalin, weed champurrado, chamoy, all that shit.
Chingo Blank, comedian of the week on an FYF Friday in town at the Improv. Check him out if you get a chance. He's adding shows, as Barry said. Funny dude. Friend of the show, always happy to promote him. Whoa, you okay over there?
Yeah, cough, I'm good. I have no cough button. I don't have a cough button, all right?
You sure?
Jeez.
Are you Joel Blanking it and you can't find a dump button or what?
No, why is that on
no
me?
There's no cough button on this Comrex, all right?
I would expect Joel to say something like that, not you.
Okay, ease up now.
I'm just...
I've made technical advancements in the last 6 months or so. I'm better.
You downloaded an app.
Oh, I got someone's got a joke.
Oh, you got the clock to stop flashing on your VCR?
I ran out of tape. It was crazy.
The thing about the Chingo Show, man, is Luis Juarez is on there, and I work with that dude in Wichita, and he's super funny. The whole show is going to be funny.
You remembered working with him?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Just want to make sure you remember who you work with.
Yeah. Go get tickets. It's going to be good. Hey, Joel.
Yes.
Actually, this is probably better suited to Nick.
Okay.
But do you guys know what honey trapping is?
No.
No.
Honey trapping is an investigative practice that uses romantic or sexual relationships for an interpersonal, political, or monetary purpose to the detriment of one party involved in this romantic or sexual affair. Basically, there's this rich dude, right? Mm-hmm. And he's engaged to this chick. And she doesn't want to give him a prenup. She's rushing him to get married. So he's trying to honey trap her. He's going to pay somebody to try and sleep with her or find out her intentions or see if she'll cheat or do these things just to see if she's faithful and serious about getting married or she's just a gold digger and wants his money.
Wow. There's trust in the real world.
So he said the request he sent out said a list of requirements for the right candidate. And what the role entails, the selected candidate must be good looking, so Nick's out. You have to have the ability to act convincingly. You
Nick's
have to have
out.
Facial hair, so I'm out. And you have to be in good physical shape, so we're all out.
Yeah.
So that's pretty easy. The man says the reason for the requirement is that he'd like the honey trapper to play the role of a good looking wealthy man until the exercise is concluded. The chosen candidate, this is the crazy part. The chosen candidate will be given access to a premium property, a couple of luxury cars, and an agreed-upon budget to spend while, quote, working.
Hmm. Now, what if the chick's just not interested in the guy?
Well, that's why he wants, like, a hot, hunky dude that looks rich.
But I'm saying, but not...
Because if she's a gold digger, she's for sure going to be pretending to be interested in it.
I was going to say, but you might have to have several candidates willing to do this because every woman, even if they are gold digging, has a different skill set that they're looking for. So maybe the guy that you hired isn't her type or isn't exactly what she's looking for.
True.
Just throwing it out there.
But I think, you know, it's worth the risk to see. But there's apparently you can submit applications online. This story comes from, I got it on Bro Bible, but the actual website where it was posted is called hushhush.com.
Is this like the extension of what was the one that got all those people in trouble?
Ashley Madison?
Ashley Madison, yeah.
I don't know. I went to their about page on hushhush.com. Sure. It says the world's leading luxury marketplace and VIP concierge service. So I think that they'll pretty much do anything for rich people. Like they're just website whores. It's like whatever it is that rich people want us to do, we'll do it. If it's finding somebody to honey trap their fiance, gold digging fiance, we'll do it. It says from supercars to luxury watches, handbags to rare antiques on Hush Hush, you'll discover one of the internet's largest collection of luxury products.
When they say antiques, is that the old guy that marries like the Anna Nicole Smith type?
Right. It's amazing. Like, rich people really need this website. Come on, they're rich.
The problem with rich people is that they've spent all their money on all the fun things to do in life. So now they got to find weird things to spend their money on.
That's very true.
Because like they're completely satisfied.
Like a guy to honey trap their fiance.
I guess. I don't know.
I wonder what it pays. I didn't see an amount. Like, is he going to get 50 grand? Because you obviously get to live like a rich guy, but how much does it pay?
I don't know.
But you're right, Nick, because it's like Tony Busby who's running for mayor. But he's got the big, big house in River Oaks. And like 6 months ago, the house was broken into and it was robbed of like Picassos and like paintings that were worth millions of dollars. And it's like when you're bored and you have nothing, you've done it all fun-wise, you just want to have an expensive hobby that people can say, look at me. So you're collecting art like that?
Yeah.
And the HPD was like, now you may be an accomplice to this and not know it because the people that stole it are probably storing it in your attic or basement without you being aware of how valuable it is.
Jeez.
I mean, if that's the case, then how are you going to sell that? You don't put that on Craigslist.
You can't. Yeah.
You got to find a really, really
black market buyer.
Yeah. Savvy, art, knowledgeable.
You'll essentially have to find a fence and someone to flip it to a black market guy. Like, that's just going to be... Yeah. That's so risky and so difficult to do.
And they said there were like multiple houses that got robbed of like this kind of artwork. It's like, well, because they probably walked into their own house like 15 times before they realized it was gone.
First of all, if I'm rich, I'm not buying artwork. I don't know. I
was just going to say the same thing. That's what I'm saying.
I would rather buy houses
or
and
cars,
property. I would buy an island and flip that later, or just stuff that. But
tacos,
artwork,
like, you know.
Dude, put dogs playing poker on the wall. I don't care. I'm not into that. That's not my thing. Yeah, I would. I would buy a Chick-fil-A franchise.
That'd be fantastic.
And then he'd buy a surgeon to be able to take it off whatever he needed to.
Be
just like, yeah.
Bro, I would have a weekly liposuction just ready to go. If I'm rich, I got the money.
I'm not working
out. Yeah.
You pay someone to work out for you, and then you pay a surgeon to take off what you put on.
Yes. Actually, when you're rich, you don't have to worry about how you look. No one cares.
Hey, by the way, I did want to throw this out there to you guys, too, because we were talking about dogs and things recently, and you were talking about Doberman's, Barry. If you haven't seen this already, there's this chick on YouTube, Brooke Houts, H-O-U-T-S. I don't know if you saw this or not, but she has, like, she's cashing in left and right on YouTube because she has this Doberman, and she comes across with all of her videos as really dog-friendly and a dog person and everything like that. Well, evidently, she didn't hit stop one time while she was recording one of her videos for YouTube, and it showed her hitting the dog and spitting at the dog and, like,
what?
Really being cruel to the dog, and Lance McCullers saw it. And he tweeted it out, and he's like, she needs to not have dogs, and if she's trying to make all this money off a dog that's helping her, the minute the camera goes off, she probably shouldn't be abusive. And she was like, she knew she was got. She tried to put this apology letter out and everything like that, but everybody was just like, no. And now they finally ruled she can keep the dog, but she made up this whole thing about, well, me and my family are trying to get the best one-on-one training for my dog possible, but it's been very difficult. You got more than enough money from what you've been doing on YouTube that the dogs help you make. It's just a BS situation.
Yeah, that's a bad look. That'd be like if Lisa did that. You'd be like, yo, whoa, what's going on here?
So I'll retweet the TMZ story about her being able to keep custody of the dog during the investigation. But you can Google her name and see the videos. And Lance McCullers, like I said, retweeted it. And this chick needs some help.
Wow.
Thought I'd throw that out there. All right, we're going to have a little training camp segment from the Texans next as Cody Stutes, who's been out there in the sunshine next to John McClain every day. He's going to join us, and we're going to talk about Texans as we start the second half of the show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Nick. It's Joel in studio. It's Barry in Little Rock, Arkansas. And now, joining us from the big time 3 to 7 p.m. national spot on SB Nation Radio, it is the one, the only, Cody Stutes. You know Stutes from filling in through the Suspects and all the local shows here since he joined the Gal Media family. And thanks to Twin Peaks, we're going to talk to Cody about the Houston Texans and training camp. And again, with fantasy football drafts coming up and all the different places that you could go to have a draft, go to Twin Peaks. They take care of you. The beer is ice cold. The venue is absolutely perfect. You know those Twin Peaks girls will take care of you. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views, it's Twin Peaks. Stutes, we were talking about it on the show here earlier in the first half, and Barry and I were kicking around a little bit. You had some tweets as well about the whole Kiki QT thing.
I don't know why he's doing punt returns, because this guy's like an essential piece to how they want to run the offense. Like Bill O'Brien, when he was the offensive coordinator in New England, he had two tight ends that he could rely on. He had a slot receiver that he could rely on. And then he had outside wide receivers he could rely on. If you get Kiki QT hurt, you don't have a slot receiver that you can rely on. Like, none of these other young guys in camp are going to be the slot guy. DeAndre Carter hasn't practiced yet. That's the guy that's supposed to be doing kick returns, punt returns, and things of that nature. And then, like, I understand you want him to get some of those reps. But even in the worst case of scenarios, Joe Webb's not the one throwing him the ball. Like, that should be A.J. McCarron throwing the ball. Obviously, McCarron gets hurt early in the week. That kind of throws everything into disarray. I didn't love that QT was out there because he's technically a starter. Like, you didn't see Will Fuller out there. You didn't see DeAndre Hopkins out there. But at the same time, like, you can't baby this guy, too. So I'm not terribly upset with the fact that he was out there. It is really annoying that a guy that never got hurt in high school, never got hurt in college, was hurt all last year, and then gets his ankle roughed up in the first preseason game. Like, that's got to be pretty annoying for Bill O'Brien and the Texans.
So, putting aside the preseason game, what's been the biggest thing that stood out to you in camp and seeing the Texans and what they're going through? What's been the one thing where you're like, wow, this could be big or this could be terrible for this team?
Titus Howard's not going to play tackle for this team. That's the big thing for me, is he's not going to play tackle right now. And he has just gotten so many reps at guard. They seem to really like Matt Khalil, and there are some days where Khalil looks every bit the part, left tackle. And then there are some days where, you know, Davin Bellamy's running past him at the QB. So it's very hot and cold with Khalil. Of course, he didn't play football last year. He's been hurt a ton. So he's still kind of working back into everything. Had the holding call last night. That wasn't great. That's the big thing for me, is Titus Howard's going to play right away. He's the best left guard on the team. Okay, when we've seen him out there, he's the guy that performs the best at left guard. And then to follow up kind of on the piggyback of that, I think Max Sharping's going to play really early and really soon for this team. I think if they, in their ideal world, they could have Howard at left guard and Sharping at right guard to start the season. Sharping's got to beat out Zach Fulton, who's been okay. But I think in the ideal world, like in their perfect scenario, Howard's the starting left guard and Sharping's the starting right guard. And that, to me, has been one of the biggest takeaways, is you're going to run two rookies out there at your guard spots.
So we look at the whole, we were talking about this the other day, Barry and I were kicking it around about the whole trade for Duke Johnson. And the thing that I said was, the way they handled the Deontay Foreman situation seemed to really be kind of mishandled from the jump, because of the fact that you could have hidden a lot of what was going on internally and try and avoid having to give up a fourth or a third round pick, depending on how it plays out, for a guy that you needed because you knew that there were issues with Foreman. Then you mentioned the Kiki Kuti situation, and there's no one to back him up. The other thing is, if you were worried about depth in your receiving core, could you not have gone out and tried to bring in through the draft, you know, guys like a running back? Even if you didn't before the trade, you could have used your draft picks to say a David Montgomery was out there in the third round that could have really been the guy that if Foreman wasn't going to pan out, he's your guy. If you know Kuti's been injured and Will Fuller's been injured, could you have gotten a receiver in a very receiver-heavy draft?
Well, my thing with the third-round selection of Kahale Waring, who I call Hawaii No-Go instead of Hawaii 5-0, this dude just never practiced. Came in hurt, wasn't in uniform last night, didn't play last night in the preseason game, and the quickest way to get in the doghouse, stay in the doghouse for like a year is to not be out there. And Bill O'Brien's already mentioned it a couple times. Like, he hates when guys miss, especially when he thinks they could be out there. And I don't know if that's a player thing. I don't know if that's a training staff thing, but he hates that. Kahale Waring was just a head scratcher of a pick. I mean, I think the selection after him, New England takes Damian Harris. New England had four running backs that they could have gone to, and they still added Damian Harris to the situation in the fourth round. Justice Hill. Justice Hill would be the fastest person on the Texans if he was on this team right now. Instead, he's over there killing it for Baltimore in their backfield. Like, there were a lot of guys that went as far as a running back situation where you could have had that guy in there and you could have pushed Deontay Foreman. I'll give Foreman credit because he came into camp in shape, but he came in workout shape, not football shape. And then once he got out there, everything was slow. It was molasses. It was plodding. He was making the wrong cut. He couldn't pass block. Nothing looked good. And apparently the attitude's bad behind the scenes. And you got to remember, a couple years ago, Bill O'Brien wanted to cut the backup QB, Ryan Mallett, before the game, meaning they would have played a whole game with just one quarterback, and Rick Smith had to talk him out of it. Bill O'Brien just can be a teapot sometimes. And could they have stretched that Foreman thing out there and maybe... You know, is there a sixth, seventh round pick from someone else that might want him? Could they have done something different? Could he have maybe been given the opportunity to work out of the hole he was in? Yeah, certainly, but not with, you know, Bill O'Brien making that sort of decision, that sort of call. Because, I mean, he reports yesterday, the guy the Browns called and the guy that was on the phone with John Dorsey was Bill O'Brien. Okay, that was the guy making the trade yesterday. And then with Duke Johnson, I mean, it's not the best compensation in the world. You're going to get 2 third-round picks back from the comp picks. So you had 3 third-rounders when you started the conversation with Cleveland. And so you essentially you give up one of those. And he's under contract for 2 years after this one, so I'm not upset. I'm not totally upset with the compensation.
I guess we lost Barry, but yeah.
Barry, you there?
So then with Duke Johnson, let's talk about the positives. Yep. Let's talk about at least from the standpoint of everybody was looking forward to this kind of thunder and lightning. We all know that Lamar Miller has a tough time just in terms of endurance, and everybody was questioning when he came over from Miami being a guy that could tote the rock and be the guy. Now you have a guy to compliment him that also is really adept at catching the ball to the backfield. Yep. What does he bring to this team that makes them better?
With Duke Johnson, it's a tiny bit of Kiki QT insurance because you can split him out as a wide receiver and have him, you know, you can go out there with 2 running backs and then motion him out to the slot. And it's kind of a Kiki QT insurance thing. Hasn't had a traditional running back load along the lines of when Lamar Miller got here and hadn't had a traditional running back load. So if you do want to run him between the tackles and run him hard, you certainly can. The thing I've always complained about with Lamar Miller and the Texans is Lamar Miller's a Camaro and they take him off-roading. Like, they just run that guy into the line. They just run that guy up the middle. And that's not what Lamar Miller's built to do. And so I wonder if now, because they can feel just a tiny bit better about the offensive line, they've added a tight end in Darren Fells, who I believe is going to make this team, that's going to help with the blocking situation. Like, Lamar Miller's had to be in and block a ton over the past couple of years, so you haven't been able to get out there and just dump the ball off to him. So hopefully you can do that with Lamar Miller a little bit more. Duke Johnson gives you that element too. And now, because both those guys have sort of similar skill sets, you don't telegraph anything on what you're doing. And that's one of the big things is Bill O'Brien hates those matchup telegraphs that he can give away because he's had to so many times with having to pass block the way he has.
Cody, so we talked a little bit about the offensive line and what that's looking like. And one of the other big concerns, obviously, going into camp was the secondary. Has this camp so far changed the perspective of whether this secondary is in trouble or not?
Yes and no. I think they're going to be fine at safety. In fact, I think they might have a really deep safety situation with Justin Reed as the starter, Sean Gibson with him, and then Jahleel Adai as sort of that third safety. And what he can do, Adai was a really nice pickup by them because he played a ton for the Chargers the past couple of years. At corner, look, Jonathan Joseph is there, and he's in a lot of plays, and then sometimes when you see guys like T.Y. Hilton end up with him, he's not even in the frame when the guy's catching the ball. There's going to be questions about J.J.O. Opposite him, Bradley Roby. Roby's there with a lot of guys, but Roby doesn't always make the play when he's there with those guys. No idea what they're going to do with the slot corner situation. Aaron Colvin's supposed to be that guy. Not sure if he's going to end up being that guy. And then outside of that, tons of question marks. Lonnie Johnson does not look like he's going to be ready to play from day one. Big physical guy. He loves to get up there and press those wide receivers. But if you're not going to play him in a press situation like you saw last night, he's not going to make the play. So, you know, that was a Scribini wide receiver and a Scribini quarterback that made an easy pitch and catch on him. And if he's not going to get up and get physical with guys, then he's not ready to play at the NFL level. And if they're not going to use him that way, don't play him. And then as far as the other guys, I mean, Johnson Batamosi, like, he better be a special teams demon or he's not making this team. He looked horrible as a corner last night. So outside of those top three guys, if those guys don't play well, they'll be in trouble at corner again. And if they're in trouble at corner, those safeties can be as good as they want, but they're going to need a lot of help.
Thanks, brother. Cody Stutes right there for you. We're going to have him weekly during the preseason to get you updates on the Houston Texans. And it's brought to you by Twin Peaks. So, again, when you're looking for a place to watch sports, get out of the house, get some great food and beverages, and, of course, some great scenery and or your fantasy football draft, it is Twin Peaks. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. It is Twin Peaks.
Hey guys, right now I want to tell you about Get Upside. Dude, I love this. You guys hear me talking about Get Upside all the time, and I tell you that it's a great app and you should put it on your phone, and you totally should. And I tell you to use my promo code Barry, Barry. But check this out. I'm going to switch it up a little bit here. I had somebody on Instagram, M. Huntley. He sent me a screenshot. $49 in his account. He said, thanks for the hookup. I'm glad that's working, man. That's $50 that this dude would have been leaving on the table if he's not using GetUpside. Somebody, Willie B, sent a text to the show. He said, I want to give a shout-out to GetUpside and their customer service, because when you upload your receipt, it has to have a few pieces of information on it. And sometimes cashiers at the gas station or the food place will mess the receipt up. He said, I called the customer service. They took care of it ASAP with no problem. So the customer service is great. That was from Willie B. And then Clarence just tweets out, Barry, 20 cents a gallon cash back at the Exxon at Westheimer and Sam Houston South. Dude, if you're not using this, I really don't know why you hate money, because that's the only reason that you wouldn't be using GetUpside. You don't want to get 20 cents a gallon today when you fill up cash back. You could absolutely, in fact, you could get up to 25 cents a gallon, but Clarence found a spot that's giving out 20. That's outstanding. You can get up to 35% cash back at over 100 restaurants around the city of Houston, and it's so easy to use. There's a map. You pull up the map. You say, what are the deals in my area? Then you pick one, and if you want to find that one that's on Westheimer and near Sam Houston Tollway, easy to do. You just go there and you pull the map up and you look in that area. And look, there's no catch, no gimmicks. It was featured on ABC 13. And when you put in that promo code Barry, you could be like one of the listeners, Jose, that said he got $8 back. Because my promo code Barry is going to get you an extra bump in the cash back department when you do your first fill up through the app. So stop wasting time. Stop wasting money right now. Go download GetUpside. Put it on your phone. Put in that promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. Send me some screenshots. Thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, plowing through at hour number two, three-hour show on an FEF Friday on The Usual Suspects. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be, work, pleasure, or otherwise in the big city of Houston, Texas, or across this great big nation of ours with the app. It is Nick and Joel in studio, Barry in Little Rock, Arkansas, doing some comedy and having some fun out on the road, drinking some milk. Barry, you've checked and caught up a little bit on the electronic media while we were in break?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, not to do it extra, but I got a tweet that from Anthony who said there's 25 cents a gallon at a Shell station on 288. So get on it, man. It's all out there. But somebody texted and said, I'm a local suspect, but it's cool to hear Chingo Bling as your comedian of the week. I've listened all week from Cabo, Mexico.
Doesn't
Stream sounds great. Yeah, he said, stream sounds great, although Nick is coming in a little chubby.
See, awful. Not nice, sir. I know you're sure, on vacation, but not nice.
And he's probably working out with Ezekiel Elliott in Cabo.
It very well could be. This message is for the usual suspects. Y'all are hands down my favorite show, and I've been trying multiple times to win tickets for the party next week, and I have been unsuccessful. I'm almost to the point where I'm ready to offer Barry to mow his yard for him. But then again, I hear multiple stories about the ditches, and I'm not sure I can handle that. Yeah, no weaklings need apply.
Barry, I believe that
man's
that,
game.
That was code. I don't think what? That's. I just think you just got.
You think mow my yard was a euphemism?
Yeah, and the numerous
for a sexual favor
and the numerous ditches because you know. If, and he wanted to whack some weeds, if you know what I mean.
Oh my God, are you ever going to stop with a whack and a weed jokes?
No. Mm-mm.
Somebody wants to know if Dez Bryant is an option when he's healthy. Here's the thing, Texter. Do you really want to bring in an old guy that has injury problems at this stage in his career? You've already got young guys with injury problems at this stage in his career. That's the thing you face. I don't necessarily want to go out and get an aging vet who can't stay healthy. I got young guys that can't stay healthy.
Yeah,
no, thanks.
See Dez last year, Brandon Marshall. See these guys that at one point were very, very good receivers in the league. The older you get, the more you break down. That's not what they need. They got young guys breaking down, like you said. Why do you need old guys that can join in?
I'm with you. I pass on Dez if that's an option. Unless you get him super, super cheap, like the minimum, which you're not going to do. And one of these guys goes down with a season-ending injury. And if there's just nothing else out there, then you maybe bring him in for a flyer, but you know good and well that it's probably not going to last.
You think Bill O'Brien wants that guy in his locker room?
Hell no. Cal McNair probably doesn't want that guy
probably
in his locker
right.
room.
Probably right. And here's the other thing. If you're not going to go out and kick the tires on Trent Williams, then why the hell are you going to go out and explore bringing in Dez Bryant?
Yeah.
I was going to ask Cody about that. I mean, the fact of the matter is it's still mesmerizingly befuddling to see the fact that they won't even talk to Washington about a guy who wants to play here.
He's a genius, though, Joel. Stop it. Oh, he knows what boy. He's doing. He's a genius. They've made the playoffs four times.
They're better than average, Barry. Years. They're better than average.
Yeah, one game better than average on the field. That's
they're
they
a playoff team, and if you don't like it and don't agree with me, then you're wrong.
Just like that. That's like the tweeter said, correct?
That's right. That's where I'm going. Does the name, by the way, Damon Sheehy Giuseppe ring a bell?
Can't say it does.
It should after last night. It is okay. One of the feel-good stories of training camp in the NFL. This guy was trying to get a tryout with the Cleveland Browns. He couldn't find a hotel room, and he couldn't get an invite. He was sleeping in his car. He finally kind of tricked his way into getting a workout. And during the workout, they invited him to camp. They put him on the field last night. He ends up running one back for a touchdown. And the entire Cleveland Browns team ran from the bench to the end zone to, like, pile on the guy and congratulate him. It was just an awesome, awesome story.
That is awesome. I love to hear a story like that where you got a dream. And no matter what, you're gonna chase that dream, and you're just not gonna be told no. I mean, that's a guy like look at Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
They sent him home. They said just go home. You're too small. He came back the next day. He's like, I'm not going home. I'm just not giving up on this just because you said to. I love stories like that. I love those underdog stories. Now, is he gonna make the team? Who knows?
But you know, he could make a rookie squad. I mean, he could be on the practice squad.
There was a receiver here in Houston that stood outside of NRG Stadium with a sign. Do you remember that?
I do remember
that. I don't know, it was like Will Work for passes or something. I don't remember what it was, but yeah, man, you got to do anything. And if you love it, that's what I was teaching the comedy workshop, and people were like, well, what about, why do I, you know, do I need to spend this money? Do I need to do this? Do I need to do that? I'm like, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want your dream? What are you willing to do? How hard are you willing to sacrifice? And what are you willing to give up to achieve it? That's the question you have to ask yourself. That's what makes people like that so special, is because they'll do anything.
No doubt about it. And then the Christian Wade story, again, is the other feel-good story that I was talking about early on. Here's a guy that played rugby his whole life.
Here's a guy.
Here's a guy. When run, he goes faster. Boom, right there. He played rugby his whole life. He's never played NFL football. He's from across the pond. The Bills kind of got in touch with the guy and decided, look, whatever he's done on the rugby field, he's quick. He's got some moves. So last night in the fourth quarter, they give him the ball, and on the first carry, he goes 65 yards for a touchdown. And everybody was like, what? Wow. And you're like, there's another one where just out of the blue, it's the Cinderella story of a guy that's never even put on pads before. He's played rugby, and he goes and his first carry in an NFL preseason game, 65-yard touchdown.
That's wild.
Those
cool,
are great stories, man. And, and now they're saying, look, they've got Frank Gore, LeSean McCoy, and rookie
that's
Devin Singletary.
Yeah.
But they're like, you know what? Maybe they got to give this guy a few more carries and see what he's got. And you know, well, here's the thing. I was going to, again, this is kind of like how it translates to Cody. And we don't. I didn't have enough time to ask this either. But the Texans, because what they didn't draft, as we said, running backs and receivers. But they got more tight ends. And he was mentioning tight end is now a position of extreme depth after drafting two last year, too. The Broncos need tight ends. There are teams that are in need of tight ends right now where you might be able to orchestrate a deal because you have a surplus to get some position that can help you.
Yeah, the one thing about that running back story, which is great, is that even though that's a crowded backfield in Buffalo already, there are teams out there that might need some help or some depth at running back. So it's really not necessarily or not critical that he's playing to make the Buffalo squad. He's showcasing himself to make any squad.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
That's exactly part of what is cool about preseason for some of these guys is that they may not hook on on a team where there's already a ton of depth and competition, but that one run may be good enough for a team to say, you know what, we'll stash him on our practice squad, or you know what, he can be our third back because of his ability to cut. And I mean, it was a slick run, but you know, of course, you don't know what kind of competition he's facing or whatever. But it's also they're putting their skills on display for the other teams in the NFL too.
Every play is a resume because whether it's for your team or another team, you're absolutely right. And again, let's not for a second count out of the equation the great PR a team gets if that guy ends up on your practice squad. Yeah. Because you know what? As much as we say that it's about winning and we've had other people tell us the exact opposite, the bottom line is these franchises are trying to make money. They're trying to be in the hearts of every one of their fans. And that's how you endear yourself more to a fan base is go, look, we saw this guy. We had never heard of him before. But once we saw him and then we realized what a great story it was, we had to give him a chance. And then you become even more of a hero in your community, as well as giving a guy a chance that may turn out to be something good for you.
Yeah.
So that was cool. A good story, too. I mean, I'm looking to try and pull the best story aspects that we can out of the first night of preseason game in the NFL. But, all in all, at least there was stuff to talk about where there was some performances where you could go, oh, okay. Like Kyler Murray. I mean, you start with the two guys we just said were the two most unexpected stories. Kyler Murray, the most hyped up guy last night, actually performed well.
How about Ron Rivera calling a timeout to ice the Bears kicker so they can get that tested? And he said, yeah, that's what I did it for. I was trying to ice their kicker because I know they're trying to figure that out. And the kid made the kick, and the other kid that had a chance, I think he missed one from 40-something yards. So, boy.
And they were saying because Fairbairn's not going anywhere for the Texans, but they got a kid in camp that can kick it a little bit. And the Packers brought in competition for Crosby this year that one, if not both of those guys, might end up being looked at by Bears. the Bears based on what's going on in Chicago. Because you know what? As good as the Bears are, we saw it keep them out of a playoff run last year. Until they figure that out, that could be a real lingering issue.
Ron Rivera, the hero the Bears needed.
Don't forget where Ron Rivera was before he went to Carolina and where he played.
I know.
Yeah, he's a Bear.
That's why he said he did it.
Well, I don't appreciate it. All right, two in the books, 1 hour to go, 60 minutes on the clock when we come back as we run you till 4, Blitz takes you till 7, all right here on ESPN 97.5.
When the world is calling, whether it's sunny beaches, global cities, or boardrooms that can't wait, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, a new nonstop to Montreal on Air Canada, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, Columbus makes travel simpler, smarter, and closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.